Hasya, you know, means laughter. Hasya, Priya. It's an unusual name. And Guru Deva is typical. Here we go. Hasya Priya, Krandan Priya, or any other Priya. If you listen to the songs you're singing, you know, Amitu Kanga, you know, Krandan means crying. So he's saying, the laughing Priya, the crying Priya, that's his typical type of humor. He, Nipin Prabhu, passed away from the world recently, the old gentleman, and once had this opportunity, he and Sri Srila Prabhu were sitting next to each other. They looked identical. You can see that's what he'll look like when he's older, and I thought, I didn't have an iPhone at the time. I wanted to take that. They were like, right, they looked the same. Both communists. Nipin was a communist. So it shows these things are not relevant. Someone can be a communist, a right-wing Republican, this or that, and they can all be devotees of Mahaprabhu. Those are not the significant things. So anyway, this bogus association in neighborhoods called the Tarun Sangha. It means like youth organization. Like where I grew up, they had something called CYO, Catholic Youth Organization. Or Knights of Columbus, Rotary Club, Lions Club. So in every Bengali neighborhood, there's something called Tarun Sangha. Like Tarun Krishna means youth organization. And they think that it is their right, they have to be quiet in the kitchen. They think that it is their right to extort funds from the local people. So what they do is, like anyone, like it's, we think, this is what Bengalis do. It's what people do all over the world. They do it in America. Hey, we're collecting for the kids this Christmas. Can you help us out? Devotees did that. I did that. Rameshwar Maharaj and I, in the year we won this, we sold a million BTGs one Christmas back to Godhead. 1 million. That was the goal, and it was achieved. We went out in Santa Claus suits. You know, and when we'd go, I'd be driving the Mercedes. The two of us are in Santa Claus suits. He's the Acharya and the GVC, and I'm the president and the sannyasi. L.A., there's 500 devotees. We have like 90 children. Sruta Srava Prabhu was a Gurukula teacher, if you can believe that. And Sanatani was in charge of 35 women on the Sankirtan party. And one of them was Divya Shakti. Another one was Bhakti Priya. Anyway, when we'd go out, Rama, he would just like get into the, he'd be waving to all the kids. They go, there, Mom, there's two Santa Clauses in that Mercedes. You know, and he's just like waving on the way to our spots because we thought, we're the leaders. We're asking everybody to collect. We're going to do it too. So we go out. So I get arrested in Westwood, you know. First, you know, soliciting. Westwood is, for those of you who don't know Los Angeles, that's where all the Hollywood movies are. When you see a premiere and they show you Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, it's Westwood. That's where it all happens. So, and Hollywood, but Westwood also. So I get arrested for soliciting without, whatever, you know. So, while I'm at the police station, I'm in a holding cell, and I think, they're going to shoot pictures of me, right? And I'm like in full Santa Claus regalia. I've got a beard, you know, the whole thing, you know, and I go, I'm thinking, I'm not obligated to wear the suit anymore. So I take it off, and I like stuff it in my bag. And then one cop comes in and goes, where'd that Santa Claus guy go? And I go, I don't know. And then he leaves, and then I just opened the door and walked out of the police station. He went looking for the Santa Claus guy. I said, I don't know. He was here like a minute ago. Then I went, oh, yeah. And I just went. Just whistled on my way out of the police station. Anyway, a million back to Godheads, right? Well, oh, so the Tarun Sangha comes to jack up everybody in the neighborhood, like Durga Puja's coming up. Everyone's given a donation. Can you pitch in something? So Nripin Prabhu said, over my dead body, you won't get a rupee of Mahaprabhu's tukka. This old little man stood up to these big Bengali paper tigers, Bengal paper kadi tigers, and they left. Then a year later, they do the same thing every year. They come, and another person dealt inauspiciously and said, like, gave something, or said, I have to ask, or, you know. And this, they saw an opening. And Gurudev was very upset, and that's when he said about the man who was the so-called leader who lost his nerve. He said, he is not a cowherd. He is a coward. He is not a cowherd. He's a coward. And then he told me, he said, now they want to use our Sevak Bhavan, because we're not using the downstairs, for weddings. And he said, I'll have to ask. So I said, I have a solution. What? I said, we'll call it Theistic Media Center. Put computers, tables, printers, you'll see devotees in there with Wi-Fi, you know. Do it immediately. That's why that place is called the Theistic Media Center. It's not like an accident or just like, I went off on some kind of a weird trip. Idiots. I mean, simple-hearted idiots. Or loving, affectionate idiots. Sweet morons. What's the difference between a moron and a Mormon? An M. Absent an M, a Mormon becomes a moron. So do not join the moron religion or the Mormon religion. Don't be cowards, be cowherds. Right? The cowherds, they say, oh, aren't the waters of the Jamuna poisoned? Are we not about to drink poison water? And they say, yeah, but Krishna's here. So it's irrelevant. Rake Krishna Mare Ke Mare Krishna Rake Ke. Once one Maharaj went against Guru Maharaj's order about, Guru Maharaj told us, do relief work, not to ever be an anti-party to ISKCON. He had the greatest appreciation for ISKCON being the, he saw it as the godchild of Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's, you know, he worshipped ISKCON for spreading Mahaprabhu's creed all over the world. And Guru Maharaj's opinion, like, who cannot appreciate that? Right, like pockmarks on the moon. The moon's illuminating the sky very beautifully, and someone says, yeah, but did you see those little, like, things there? The pockmarks on the moon? Are you looking at the pockmarks on the moon or acknowledging the illumination of moonshine and moonlight? So, this person, Guru Maharaj told us from the beginning, no anti-party, just positive, and we preached about him. We didn't go negative on ISKCON. But other people saying they're representing Guru Maharaj, you know, like, rent an apartment right next to the ISKCON temple. That's aggressive. What do they call it in psychology? Passive aggressive. You know, they rent the house across the street and say, we're just doing our program here. That's not true. Right? So the local ISKCON leader sends a man to beat that man in the dead of night. He's in a sleeping bag, people come in and they like bludgeon him. So what is his response to that? He gets a 9mm Browning and a shotgun.
to protect himself in the future. This is devotion. This is faith and guru and what is it? Gopite Bharan Rakshas Tit. You know, this is Sharanagati. You know, Sharanagati, locked and loaded. Are you ready to sing the songs? Doinya Atmani Vedan. Gopite Bharan. So when Guru Maharaj hears this man's new concept of Sharanagati, he says, he quotes the famous statement we heard from Prabhupada. Do you realize there's a connecting thread between Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, and Gurudev? That's real. There's a real current between the three of them. It has nothing to do with institutions, organizations, external aspects of... in India, there's no Pope of the Hindu Church. They didn't have organizations until the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. It's always been guru and disciple. That's all it's ever been. That's all it ever actually will be. Has nothing to do with organizations, right? That you pledge your allegiance to an organization, like the fascists do. Hitler, a fascist leader, when everything's like really, when all the gears are like oiled with ghee, the fascist leader becomes the personification of the country. You no longer pledge your allegiance to the country, but to this person who personifies the country. We can say, well, isn't guru like that? Actual guru, Mahabhagavata, you could make the case for that. Except no substitute. So you'll see films where they're pledging their allegiance to Hitler when he's giving them diksha. No longer to Germany, he personifies Germany. It's okay if it's real, Guru Maharaj will say, form and substance. It's always about that. Identifying form and what is substantial, or in modern language, what a statistical analysis calls separating the signal from the noise. There will always be so much noise. You have to detect signal in the midst of so much distracting noise. Right? Guru Maharaj's examples. What is the Ganga? He said, sometimes you see a river is coming, here's the Ganga. When the Ganga enters the current of another river, it's not Ganga anymore. When another river enters the current of the Ganga, it's now Ganga. He said, so they will say, what is the Ganga? The undercurrent. It's the current. It's not the water. It's the current that's moving the water. And then he'd say, Nake kaj nanisheshe kaj. What is more important, the nose or the breath? We like to have a nose and a pretty nose. I don't have one, but some people do. But if it comes to a choice, like the girl on the cover of the, you know, the we've seen in the last year, you need breath. What's really important is the breath going through the nose. Not that somebody's got a pretty button nose, someone else's nose is broken, someone's got a long one, a short one. What's important is the breath going through the nose. These are the teachings of Srila Guru Maharaj. He's the last man in the world to be an organization man. In fact, in the Gaudiya Math, the famous thing, when Guru Maharaj, he wisely never accepted any post. They offered him to be a GBC, he declined. And he just said, I'll be an advisor. So at last, they send his dear friend, Professor Sanyal, to say, the committee has made a decision, and you're duty-bound to follow the decision of the committee. Guru Maharaj says, it was so cute, the way he goes, I spoke a little harshly, a little offensively.
I pass urine on your governing body. The way he said it, he goes, I spoke a little harshly, a little offensively. I pass urine on your governing body. What is the governing body got to do? He said, I'm not interested in men, money, and buildings. And then what does he say to back that up? Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam, ba, jagadisha, kamaye, mama, janmani, janmani, shere, bhavatat, bhakti, rahoy, tiki, twayi. Mahaprabhu's teaching. He said, I've come here to be a servant of Mahaprabhu. Can you help me make progress towards that? No interest in your men, your money, and your buildings, your properties. And he gave the example, the Ramakrishna mission with the big sign saying, Bharat Seva Ashram. And he said, but if any qualified auditor comes, he will see they are bankrupt. There's nothing there. It's a big signboard. There's nothing to back it up. There's no Bharat. There's no Seva. There's no Ashram. Anyone who is an aspiring member or a card-carrying member of the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat has to understand who the founder Acharya is of the Mat. Otherwise, you won't be able to properly assess the value of anything or anyone. To have this connection and not be acquainted with the teachings of Guru Maharaj is unacceptable. It's just out and out unacceptable. There's no other word for it. You can't say, oh, we don't know Guru Maharaj. Then connect with somebody who does. Don't blind faith. Guru Maharaj said, is diseased faith. Unless you're a Jnana Shunya Bhakta, blind faith, in his exact words, diseased faith. You'll be easily deceived by the shallow, superficial appearances of what is Guru, what is not Guru. When one of Govinda Maharaj's so-called disciples observed that he does not chant japa, right, who's giving Harinam to everyone, does not chant Harinam on the Malika. Right? Gurudev used to say, he goes, in the end, when the servant in the last few days is offering Guru Maharaj his mala, and Guru Maharaj is going like, we've gone beyond that. And like, he gives the mala to Srila Govinda Maharaj. Gurudev said, I wonder, why is he giving me his mala? I don't chant Harinam on the Malika. With a smile, Gurudev is telling me that. Why is he giving it to me? I don't chant japa. But he gives Harinam. Can you digest that? The man who gives Harinam in the line, the Rupa Nuga line, he doesn't chant japa. Either he's bogus or he's a ragamarg bhakta. Right? Who can do that? So when some smart devotee observed, he's seeing him do so many other things, watching television, cricket, Bengali soaps, this, that, the other thing, and sees he's not chanting japa, he's going like, do you chant japa? Yeah. Gurudev said, do you want me to make a show? Like, he's ready, he goes, I can go get my mala. Do you want me to make a show for you? I will, if you require it. When Malta Malini, she can tell you, she comes in and sees Gurudev's. He knows Vaishnavas don't drink tea, supposedly. Right? So what does he do? He has garam jal. It's a code, it means hot water in Bangla. So Sagar Maharaj is not keyed into this yet. So one day, you know, he's more Bengali than a Bengali, right? No, he's not.
At glass garam jal, deva.
Yeah. So they go, are you sure?
Yeah.
You know, like,
Nestroy.
So they bring him a cup of tea and he throws it against the wall. He's ready to kill somebody. I asked for hot water. They go like, oh, I guess he doesn't know. So then they go, all right, here's a glass of hot water. After, you know, he figures it out finally that he's drinking tea. Right? And what does Prabhupada say in his book? And Upadesamrita, Vaishnava, those following Krishna consciousness do not drink tea, smoke cigarettes, take tobacco, haritaki pan, betel nut. He goes through a whole list of things that people with Krishna consciousness do not do. But you can read in the Veda base, Prabhupada says, did you bring the snuff box? Please deposit it in my room. Because why? I've seen him in his room. As I saw, he'd lie and nod out against the wall while he's staying up all night translating the Bhagavatam. If he needed a little boost, he opens his snuff box. What is snuff? It's powdered tobacco. Puts it on his lips and goes, like that. Then he's like wide awake and goes on translating the Bhagavatam. Can you digest that? The person who wrote in his book, those who are Krishna consciousness do not take tobacco, tea, coffee, cigarette, maybe a little beedi. Beedis are okay. I know there's some guy going, Goswami Maharaj said, I could talk about like the Rupa Nuganine for the next 6 hours, and you know what will be on the internet for the Mormons, minus the M? That I said beedis are okay. That's all they'll get. If I now spoke the Bhagavatam for 7 days straight without stopping, they will say, Goswami Maharaj said beedis are okay. Once Guru Maharaj said we could give Harinam to someone who eats meat, a tantric initiation where it would be understood, in time they would give up eating meat. And so it all finishes, we go to our own, and there's a knock on my door. And I'll say it this way, it was Chidananda Prabhu, not Siddhanti Maharaj, it was Chidananda Prabhu. And he goes, Goswami Maharaj? Yeah, he goes, did Guru Maharaj just say we can eat meat? I said, nope. So sometimes later, when Gurudev, he'd give some explanation to the, and I'd go like, Maharaj, why are you telling them that? And then I'd go, oh, Chidananda section. Like, oh, I get it. You're dumbing it down. Because if you tell them the truth, it'll be misunderstood, abused, whatever. Like when he said about that particular person, Voldemort, that he may be Shiva. We don't know who he is, but we know he offended Srila Guru Maharaj. What did his Mormon disciples say? You know, Gurudev said he might be Shiva. That's when I realized a lot of you were not chanting on a full mala. Okay? Or if I hear some like bogus kirtan at the mat and look at Gurudev, like, this is intolerable to Guru Maharaj. Gurudev say, Maharaj, they are enthusiastic. That would be his response. So I thought, oh, he's in super tolerant mode now. What Guru Maharaj would send someone down to the, remember, Guru Maharaj is up here, the Nat Mandir is here. That's why there was a tight leash on Madhu Mangal. So if you hear his kirtans, you can understand it's kind of like the way you do it. Because if he goes off for 30 seconds, Guru Maharaj sends someone down to stop it. One of our friends was playing the kartals too loud. Someone was sent down from Guru Maharaj to tell him to stop it. You're drawing too much attention to the wrong thing. That's Guru Maharaj. So that Guru Maharaj has all these standards, who was called to the bedside of Srila Saraswati Thakur, his disappearance bed, and asked to sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. And we know, it was Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj who, when Guru Maharaj hesitated, Tirtha Maharaj asked him to sing. If you've ever heard him sing, he's a very sweet singer. He's a kirtaniya, a good singer. Like we have people who are supposed to be good at mridanga, etc., singing. So Guru Maharaj is hesitating. So Tirtha Maharaj goes like, Pranavananda Prabhu, you sing. And he starts singing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, and Saraswati Thakur stops him and says, I'm not interested to hear a sweet tune. This can only be sung from someone who has that realization, and that is Sridhar Maharaj. Then Guru Maharaj sings, and who do we hear the thing about the mystic power transmission from? Puri Maharaj. He says,
We witnessed a mystic power transmission between Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur and Sridhar Maharaj. If he's just a Kanishta Adhikari, how could he observe that? Think. Can you think? Are you people capable of thought? Or just the rote recitation of things that were told to like keep you in the pen? You have to start thinking sooner or later. If you portray yourself as a follower of Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami, you can't ignore his teachings. How much longer are you going to ignore what it says in Sri Guru and His Grace, books spoken directly by him, and come up with some insane quote like, now is not the time for Sri Guru and His Grace. You know what? Now hear this. Now is the time for Sri Guru and His Grace. Read it again. Study it. Memorize it. And if you don't understand anything in that book, ask me and I'll explain it to you. Don't come with your insane, ridiculous interpretations of Gurudev's will. It would be laughable if it wasn't pathetic. Read Sri Guru and His Grace. If you don't understand something in the will, read Sri Guru and His Grace, and then you'll understand what the will is telling you. Not the inverse. Sri Guru and His Grace is the book on Guru. I told Guru Maharaj, after we made Search for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful, I said, the devotees are so confused about Guru that I'm thinking to take all the different things you've said on Guru and make a book. It'll be like the Guru book. And incidentally, after we did it, you know what he told me later? You should make a book for acharyas. A similar book for acharyas. Maybe we should. It's time to follow that order. That's what he told them. Make another book that's like for acharya manual. So anyway, and as I've told, we assemble, and Mahayogi is coming. We assembled all the things Guru Maharaj said on Guru, and we're going to put them in this one book. And I'm thinking what to call the book. So I said, I like when he once said Guru, heavier than Himalayas. Because it's Tasmad Guru Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shrey Uttamam Shabde Parecha Nishnatam Brahman Upasamashrayam. It's a famous Bhagavatam sloka. It's what you're supposed to know these things. What I'm quoting now, these are not some esoteric verses. These are the ones that everyone's supposed to have like committed to memory 30 years ago. The esoteric ones, that's another subject. These are just your basic guru slokas, how you understand who is a guru, what is a guru, when to approach a guru. It's all there, right? Everybody's supposed to know it. Right? And if you don't, then just serve somebody who does. That's the way it works. So anyway, Guru Maharaj says to me, what are you going to call the book? And so I'm thinking of calling it Guru, Heavier than the Himalaya. Because I thought, if I saw a book like that in a bookstore, I'd have to pick it up. At least, like, pick it up. And that's what I'm thinking, like, marketing more so. And Guru Maharaj, he never thinks like that. He's just always, like, spiritual consideration first. And so he said to me, that is a partial conception. It's one aspect. Guru meaning heavy, immovable by any misconception. And he said, what is more comprehensive is Sri Guru and His Grace. And he said, actually, I wrote an article in 1936. Oh, there you go. And so he directed me toward the article, and I said, oh, great. I can use that as the intro to the book. So we'll call the book Sri Guru and His Grace, and that'll be the introduction. Right? What does it say, you know? To the errors human, to errors inevitable for all, for everyone being imperfect. What did Guru Dev say once when one of his friends again misrepresented something that had just been heard and now it's already being mangled? You know, yoga nashta parantapar within like 15 minutes. Guru Dev says, to err is human, and he's very human. Same, again, just samples of who he's dealing with. Gurudev says, Hashishan assassins, after they kill somebody, they have a tradition that they shave. What does his leading disciple say? Leading follower. Who do they shave? So I'm seeing this guy, a guy's brains have just been blown out. And Gurudev's disciples, they're trying to shave the guy's face. And what's even more alarming is you're not laughing. Do you understand who they shave? Thank you. Make sure he gets extra sundesh. Yeah, they shave. This is the point. This is too frustrating. You don't even understand your own guru and his humor, his method of instruction, all these things. As Janardan Maharaj reminded me the other day, he said, Gurudev once said, Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj's disciples, they think they're expert, but they're not. And I said, you know what? Govinda Maharaj's disciples think they're expert, but they're not. They have thought he's a Raga Marg Bhakta. They think they are. And what do they think? A Raga Marg Bhakta is someone who doesn't follow rules and regulations. Means, you know, he gets stoned, he intoxicates, he's loose on his diet, but he's got love and affection for Gurudev. And that's all that counts. It's just heart to heart, man. Yeah, I know. It's just heart to heart. Yeah, can I have some of your prasad? Here. That's how bogus you people are. Not all of you, but many. All this nonsense. You'll break all the regulative principles, but it's just heart to heart, me and Gurudev. It's bullshit. And I say that, and people go, how can you say that? Just study America, study English. It's acceptable in modern usage. Like, they even have to explain that to you. You supposedly have computers, you've heard of the internet, Google, Wikipedia, etc. Just grow up for a minute. You need to talk to you, like have an adult conversation. Right? So, that person, no wonder he's concealing himself. Because it'll be lost upon people who have no interest. They like Hitler's gas chamber, mafia bread, all of these things. But, you know, Lalita Lavangalata Parishila Nakamala Malaya Samire. Maru Karabi Karakarambita Kokila Kujita Kunja Kutire. Not so much interest in that. Rather hear about mafia bread, Hitler's gas chamber, and that stuff is all charming. Right? So he's just keeping it to himself. Who's got inconceivable wealth, can't find a suitable pot to store that wealth in. And that is what is unfortunate. Guru Maharaj found such a person. Saraswati Thakur found such a person. Right? Like, all you guys know is that Gurudev said Puri Maharaj is a Kanishta Adhikari. And like little parrots, you go around parroting that, offending a higher Vaishnava. Whereas, what did Gurudev tell me about him? Everyone knows I'm a miser man. I don't give money to anyone. But every year I give 100 rupees to Puri Maharaj on his Vyas Puja because I know he is a pure Vaishnava. At least one man understood the heart of Srila Guru Maharaj. That you haven't heard because you weren't fit to hear it. All you could hear is, he's a Kanishta Adhikari, stay away. Woo, get all the sheep, you know. There's one running over there, get him back in and herd them all into the little, you know. That's the truth. Are you ready to hear the truth? Or you want to go on living in your own, you know, private Arizona? I knew he'd like that one. private Ananda Bazaar.
You know, Calcutta's called Ananda Bazaar, the city of joy. Can you digest that? If you can digest that Calcutta's the city of joy, there's hope for you. If you can't digest that, you have my sympathy. Jai, Jai Ma Kali Calcutta Wali. That'd be a great screen name, Calcutta Wali. Gurudev would tell a story, the Ma Kali Bhakti is on the bus, you know, those buses, they don't have shocks and suspension, so he's got to pass stool, and then they pull a bump, oh, Jai Ma Kali, Jai Ma Kali, you know, like, and then they're like, oh, Jai Ma Kali, you know, like, and he's like somehow holding on, he's trying to make it till Calcutta or the next toilet break. And then what would Gurudev say in the end? But it with this very serious, sincere, earnest face, alas, Ma Kali could not save him. So I'm praying by his divine grace that Ma Kali will save you. Sometimes he'd be angry in the morning, and he'd say, oh, this Hare Krishna, my Ma Kali will come in and smash them. Talking about all of you who are bugging him about, like he said, after dealing with you people, he said, nothing will surprise me. He said, except that they're chanting Hare Krishna in China. He said, that surprises me. Once we're watching the hunting channel or something, and the Eskimos take one reindeer and ceremoniously slaughter the reindeer. They're eating the reindeer. Gurudev's just eating snacks, drinking some tea, watching it. You know. Other people go, change the channel. It's so horrible to watch that. You know, he's having a snack and drinking tea. And he goes, Maharaj, I think we can give Eskimos Harinam. And then, I'm your man. Because I told him in the end, I said, I will support Acharya Maharaj as the Acharya of Chaitanya Saraswat Math. I will support Avadhut Maharaj as the Acharya in Russia. I said, I don't want to do any kind of initiation. After you, I just want to stop it altogether. Not Ritvik, nothing. He said, I appreciate your mood. I said, well, I got it from you. That's what... He didn't want to be the Acharya of the Math. He told Gurus, make Aranya Maharaj or Hari Charan, and I'll be the secretary. And Guru Maharaj said, I will give the deities the Puri Maharaj and shut the mat before I will do that. It must be you. And we know Gurudev is trying in different ways to avoid it. He actually is happy in his situation as the secretary. He said when he was secretary, he was a dictator. After he became the Acharya, he said the mat was run by democracy. But he was a dictator when he was the secretary of the mat because Guru Maharaj would back every decision that he made. You couldn't go to Guru Maharaj and cancel him. But anyway, so why did I say that? What was I saying? That, oh, about the hunting channel. And so, and I said, I don't want to initiate.
After you go.
Because on this point, understand, Guru Maharaj, people say, you're not mentioned in the will as initiating. Yeah, because I'm directly empowered by Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami to initiate. Gurudev would never cross Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj empowered me to initiate disciples. You can listen to it on a tape. I'm already a Ritvik. Then he says, I'm transferring the responsibility to you. 3 years before Gurudev started initiating, Guru Maharaj empowered me to initiate and said, if you find an exceptional person, bring them to me. Otherwise, you initiate. And Gurudev knows that, and he would never cross Guru Maharaj's. So he, when someone asked if I could be his Ritvik, he said, he's already empowered by Guru Maharaj to initiate directly. But if he will act as my Ritvik, I'll be very happy. I'm not in the same situation as you or others. We are co-disciples, Srila Gurudev, we are co-disciples of Srila Bhakti, Om Vishnupad, Srila Bhakti Rakak, Sridhar Dev Goswami. There's Guru Varga and Shishya Varga.
read Sri Guru and His grace. Understand what Guru Maharaj's opinions about these things are. Don't be spent off in your own world with your own little crazy interpretations about what a will means, who in a charge is, who can initiate, who can't initiate. Understand what Guru Maharaj said. He's the founder in charge of this mat. He and Gurudev, as I wrote this morning, those two are irreplaceable. Everyone else is replaceable. They are Chaitanya Saraswat. Without them, it's only a shell of what it used to be. No one can replace them. In Guru Maharaj's opinion, no one could take the rudder of the mat but Govinda Maharaj. Then people will say, well, then why did Govinda Maharaj do what he did? Because we know, Guru Maharaj, he doesn't care for men, money, buildings. And then they go, well, then what about Govinda Maharaj? Here's the difference. He sees the men, money, buildings as the worshipable paraphernalia of his guru. So he's ready to shed blood for that. If the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat had been a Gaudiya Mat, Guru Maharaj would revere it as the worshipable paraphernalia of Saraswati Thakur and have a different opinion. But inasmuch as Saki Babu gave him this land, it's never been a public institution. It's a private institution. It's privately owned. The Chaitanya Saraswat Mat is not a public charity or any such thing. It belongs to Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami. It's his personal property. And he told Gurudev, if you won't become the Acharya, I will give the deities, send the deities to Puri Maharaj, and shutter the mat. And then Gurudev came with his chart, right, and said, it says I won't live long here. And Guru Maharaj is very, I throw your chart in the Ganga, I'm giving you life to 82. And still Gurudev's not accepting. Then Guru Maharaj said, I have the ability to voluntarily give up the body. If you do not do this, I will voluntarily just disappear, like Babaji Maharaj did. Then Gurudev realized, then that blame will be upon me, and I can't tolerate your separation. So then he said, I am your goat. You can cut my tail or slit my throat. I'm offering. And Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu quotes Jiva Goswami saying, that's Sharanagati. That's how you offer your, like a sold animal. That's the example. I remember the first time I read that, I go, boy, this doesn't sound like nectar, Prabhu. Where's some of that nectar stuff? You know, and the rain, the shower of nectar from, we want that, right? We don't want to hear that surrender is like being a sold out animal. Like I tell people, Dasi means slave girl. If you look in the Sanskrit dictionary, it goes Dasi, slave girl, female slave servant. When Avadhut Maharaj met the South Indian queen, and somehow it came out like, oh, so you all consider yourselves servants of the deity? She said, no. We consider ourselves slaves of the deity, not servant, slave. So you can see, hear anything, Guru Maharaj's preferred word is slave. And slave, not even directly the slave, but slave of the slave of the slave. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Nudasa. Guru Maharaj likes naked truth. Right? And I told the other day, when all this controversy was happening, when we broke away from ISKCON and began promoting Guru Maharaj, they're searching madly to find letters and, you know, to try and, as people will do now about me, they will try and find all kinds of things to avoid dealing with the truth that I'm telling you. They will say, he did this, he did that. That's why you'll see in my letter that's about to come, I've got Guru Maharaj's backing. I've got Gurudev's backing. You can take shelter of all the, a mountain of false shelter, and it won't affect me. So, and what does Guru Maharaj say? They will say that Goswami Maharaj is the root of all evil. He just cuts to the chase. They will say Goswami Maharaj is the root of all evil. He's the great Satan. He said, but I rather think he is a man who holds his ideal as the highest and has taken a stand for the truth. Because why? He has got such faith in me. You can hear that, or you can hear some little girls spread rumors and take shelter there. That's up to you. Have fun. But instead of being cowards, I implore you to become cowherds, or gopes and gopis. Gope, gopi. It would be a better path. Gopi bhav. To, you know, gope, what is it? Hey Radhe, Brajadevi ke chalalite, hey Nanda Shuno Kutam, or Chaktva Turnama Shesha Mandala Pidi Srinim Sadat Tuchabat Bhutva Dina Ganeshako Kurunya Kopina Kantra Tasrito Gopi Bhava Rasam Ritab Dilahari Kalola Magno Muhur. It's one of the first slokas I ever heard Prabhupada quote. 1971, San Francisco, Haight Ashbury, you know, Hippie Hill, Strawberry Fields, Kezar Stadium. All the deadheads are going, I know Kezar Stadium. He was he saying? Chakpa Turma Shesha Mandala Pati Shranim Sada Tuchavat. They gave up society consciousness. And what? Took the copian. Didn't take anything with them. Got rid of all of that. And what did they take? Gopi Baba Rasam. They found that more appealing than. So when I went to Guru Maharaj after being unceremoniously run out of ISKCON, what did he say? Society consciousness and God consciousness. When society consciousness comes to hinder the development of God consciousness, it should be left away. That's what he did. That's what I did. That's what everyone must do. But it's a personal thing. When I engineered things as such as all the leading book distributors and collectors of ISKCON, I was sending them to the Mott. I had already left ISKCON. Not aggressive, I just wanted them, I thought they should hear from Guru Maharaj. When the leaders found out about it, at this point they were still being tactful. They said, you know, actually it was Baba Nanda Maharaj. He's a friend of mine, so I can say this. He'd go, you know, stay in Prabhupada's house. Prabhupada's house is in Mayapur. Stay here in Prabhupada's house and you can visit your uncle. You know, like, he was very, like, affectionate, generous in that way. But Guru Maharaj's response to that type of affectionate expression was interesting. So they tell him, they say, the chairman of the GBC says we shouldn't stay here at your mat. We should stay in Mayapur in ISKCON, and every day we can cross the river and come to hear for you, but then go back and stay there. It sounds very reasonable. And Guru Maharaj said, now you'll have to make a decision. He said, because if you stay there and come to hear from me, your hearing may not be of a very perfect type. Why? Because of the contamination of that place. It's Mayapur. It's the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. Why? What does he mean by the contamination of that place? The contamination of the place means that place where you're going to hear some other conception about who I am and what it is I represent. And then, in a polluted mental state, you're going to come and hear from me. And say, oh, didn't Prabhupada say not to hear from his God brothers? Didn't he say they can only harm us, they cannot help us? Isn't he the one that helped them violate the order of Saraswati Thakur? And so he said, and then he gave me as an example, he said, dear Krishna, he's a desperate man now. Like that. Because I had already gone to San Jose to start the preaching of Guru Maharaj in America and the Western world. And he said, but he didn't want to say his own name, so he said, But he has got such faith in here that he told them, either I'm allowed to speak the truth or I don't care for your association. He's a desperate man now. He said, so all of you, you'll have to make a choice. And he said, I'm not going to suffer the consequence of your choice. You will. And he said, and one thing you might want to factor in, he said, we don't have the same facilities that they have there. And really, he meant it. The mat, it didn't have tile on the floor in the Nat Mandir. They couldn't afford to. Few rooms. Saying, you won't get the same facilities here that you have there. So you can think about all those things and make a choice. What is it going to be? Your choice is going to be based upon peer pressure, society consciousness, God consciousness. Like the guy in Hawaii is arguing with Gurudev. Gurudev saying, Prabhu, I'm thinking that. Oh, Maharaj, no, that's not true. Well, but Prabhu, no, Maharaj, you're wrong, that's not true. Yes, but Prabhu, Maharaj, that's just not true. And what did Gurudev say? Prabhu, you are telling it is Father Krishna, but I am thinking it is Mahakali. You're telling Father Krishna, but I'm thinking it's Mahakali. Anyway, Prabhu, what can I say? It is all the will of Allah. What does he mean when he says that? He's saying, your theistic conception hasn't even approached Gaudiya yet. It's somewhere in the dark waters of Islam. Allah. It's all the will of Allah. He didn't say Krishnera Ichcha, which is what the Vaishnava should say. It's all the will of Krishna. Even in saying, you haven't even gone to Krishna conception yet. Right. So, anyway, what was it? So Guru Maharaj, then he tells them that, the individual choice. I lost my train of thought, but, so, when Guru Maharaj told me, all risk and no gain, first, no risk, no gain, and I said, yes. Because he goes, are you familiar with that? I'm falling in his trap. He's just trapping me. You know the expression, no risk, no gain? I go, yes, Maharaj. Following that, I came to your holy lotus feet, and I'm feeling so that it was a good decision to make, and I've been rewarded beyond my imagination. And he said, but you know, there's another saying maybe you're not familiar with. What's that? All risk and no gain. Do you know that one? I'm thinking, like, did I miss here? He said, this is the Braja Gopis. You risk everything with the anticipation of gaining nothing. Are you ready for that? And I thought, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And then he explains, because you think this world is something, you think you're risking everything. And because you don't have a developed spiritual concept, you think you're not getting anything. But actually, as you make progress, you'll realize this world is nothing, and this is all substantial. So what appeared to be all risk and no gain is, in fact, all gain, and you didn't risk anything. He's trying to bring us to the plane of all risk and no gain. Not where we calculate, let's see, if I go this way or that way, then, you know, that's what we're normally doing. I'm doing it too. I'm not exempting myself from this. I'm just explaining to you what he told to me. And I don't say that I'm necessarily an example of following that, but these things I think about from time to time. That's what he's trying, he's always trying to pull you in deeper. That's what he means by dive deep into reality. There's nothing shallow or superficial about Guru Maharaj. At one point, these devotees coming day after day asking so many things. First, he's tolerating, conjecturing what their position might be. Then he says, there's Prabhupada, who he is and what he represents, and the Prabhupada of their imagination. And they're busy defending that. And so I say this to you now. There's Govindamars, who he is and what he represents, and the Govindamars of your imagination, and you're busy defending that. So when Guru Maharaj, at one point he says to the same group of people, he says, can I ask you a question? And everyone's like, yeah. Like they're so shocked. Guru Maharaj says, what is Krishna consciousness? And everyone's like dumbstruck. And one guy goes, it's what Prabhupada taught us. Like, that's a good answer. It's what Prabhupada taught us. Someone else goes, bhakti, it's about bhakti. Or, you know, bhakti, more accurately, bhakti. That woman who showed up with the Ayurvedic guy, whatever, the colonic man. And she goes, the young people, they're really into the bhakti, aren't they? Yeah, lady. I say, you just stick to the colonics and I'll handle the bhakti. All right? You can clean my colon anytime. But let me do the bhakti. All right? So, anyway, Guru Maharaj stops. He said, did he say anything about Krishna? Like that. Did he say something about Krishna? And then he just stopped the whole thing. He said, Krishna consciousness is reality. And it is in your interest to become acquainted with that reality. You don't understand. We've been through this before. This is my third time around on this stuff. It's getting old. About what Guru wanted and the will of the Guru, and he said this and she said that. Guru Maharaj said in the end about it, he said, it's all a stupid dance. If you understand, if you want to understand the answers to these heart-rending, you know, perplexing questions, read Sri Guru and His Grace. When everyone was bewildered about Guru, Acharya, Maha, Bhagwat, Kanishtha, Bhagwat, you know, including myself, I could only explain up to a point. And in ISKCON, I was one of the people who's supposed to be acquainted with the books. Like there's Jayadvaita Maharaj, a few, you know, I'm one of them, you could expect. He knows the books, he's got all the tapes, you know, he and the letters, he has access to everything Prabhupada ever said, and he's finding it difficult to justify the behavior of some of the new gurus, successor acharyas. Their behavior, their sayings, their many things. So I told my friend, who was one of them, he's my old friend, we joined together. We didn't have bhakti. I was Philip Prabhu, he was Robert Prabhu. I became Dira Krishna, he became Rameshwar. So he is the guru in GBC, I'm the president. We're back, you know, after the Santa thing. We also do Santa. We do it all. We're all rounders or holy modal rounders. Take your pick. Anyway, so then I say, you know, I'm having a hard time justifying supporting you to everybody else. I'm running out of slokas, dude. You know, so I said, I think I need to consult with Srila Sridhar. Oh, here's what he said. It's interesting. Because, to back up a little bit, after the disappearance of Prabhupada, I was in Poland. This is pre-internet. I only found out 7 days later, which is interesting and mystical, because I walk into Wrocław, and this devotee tearfully hands me a telegram. I read it, collapse, and then through tears, drive back to the Schloss in Germany. And then I find out it's a week ago. So I said to my partner, it was the first sign of a ray of hope. I said, we were really enlivened in the last week and feeling Prabhupada's association by preaching. So I said, I think it's continued. Because if he left a week ago, and 3 days ago, we were totally jacked up preaching, feeling Prabhupada, then the connection's still there. That was my first ray of hope. But then I said to the leader,
So we're now going to have a worldwide meeting, which is, by the way, what I think the disciples, followers of Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami should have. And I think they're going to get a letter to the effect soon from the acharyas of the primary trust. All of you should go to Navadvip this year for Gaur Purnima and have a... Not the Russians. You're okay. For once, it's good to be a Russian or from the Ukraine. People are, how do you say, choking on their kvass as I speak. Like Rajneesh, when they'd say, how can you make all the Western people jump through all these hoops, do psychoanalysis, you know, testing, and the Indians don't have to do that? He said, they understand what Sharanagati is. Anyway, so I said, are we going to have a big meeting of everyone? And the leader said, no. It would be too expensive to do it right now. It's November of 77. Gaur Purnima is like 3-4 months away. We're going to all meet at that time. I said, oh. And Prabhupada told us that after him, when the necessity arises to consult higher spiritual authority, we should go to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So the GBC is, we're all going to meet with him and get some advice, some counsel, some direction. So they do that. And afterwards, when we go back, it's now 78, March of 78, March, April. He comes back and said, here's these two tapes of our meeting with Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And he said, Satsrup Maharaj is going to excerpt some things from here and present that to the devotees. He said, but you can hear the tapes. So I went to my room and I put on the tape. And when I heard Guru Maharaj's voice, I fell to my knees and said, that is the eternal voice of my spiritual master. It's a very odd, unusual experience. I was a hardcore Prabhupada disciple, but this was undeniably, unmistakably the voice of my eternal spiritual master. So my heart was elated, and what I could not properly express, or my god brothers and sisters could not properly express, how we felt in the absence of Prabhupada, Srila Guru Maharaj expressed perfectly. And that's where we first heard. The disciple is like the lotus, Guru is like the water, and Krishna is like the sun. When the lotus is situated safely in the waters of Sri Guru, the hot Krishna sun, because Krishna is very intense, nourishes the lotus. Remove the water from the lotus, and the very sun of Krishna burns the lotus. And then Das Goswami, Sunyate Jagat Sarvam Govinda Girindra Jagarayate Vyagra Tundayate Kundam Jivatu Rahitasyame. He's saying, as we felt when we left Poland, seeing the world void and vacant. But Guru Maharaj says, Das Goswami goes deeper and higher. Is that possible than the Shikshastakam? When he says, those places which were formerly the object of my service and veneration, Govardhan, Radha Kunda, Govardhan looks like a python coming to swallow me, and Radha Kunda, the holy of holiest places, looks like a tiger's gaping jaws coming to devour me. That's Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojan Tattva, charge of the Rupanuga line. This is what I heard from Guru Maharaj. And I was captured, I was initiated. These are conceptual, it's conceptual diksha. That's what he does. When you hear these concepts, your diksha is conceptual. It's not the ceremony that we perform. It's that also, so people don't, that's all you'll remember. You'll forget the Das Goswami explanation. And anyway, what am I going to do? Forever, like, try to like balance the scale. But hearing from Guru Maharaj is all these things. So when my god brother said, is there anyone who can remove your doubt? I didn't have a planned answer. I went, We're having like a heart-to-heart. We're not having an argument. He's saying, I have my doubts too, and he's an acharya. At least he was that honest to admit, I have my doubts about my position. And that sort of honesty is required if you're going to embrace that seva. It's like we do anything. There's not some point where you become an avatar and you no longer have self-doubt or anything. That's bogus. A devotee, Radharani doubts her position, but you don't doubt yours. She has doubts. She says, everyone says I'm famous for devotion to Krishna, but I don't know. I think my problem is I couldn't give myself to him. That's what she says. But someone else is going to take another position? Then it's highly suspect. So anyway, he says to me, is there anyone who could remove you? And we're just sitting there like two brothers we were. Like we're seeking a solution. We're not angry at anybody other than ourselves. We're trying to find a solution. A solution to what? Imitation. Sahajya means imitation. To imitate a Mahabhagavata brings degradation. You cannot be stamped a Mahabhagavata. If it says in a will, so-and-so is my successor, that doesn't mean they become absolute or Mahabhagavata. Guru Maharaj says, so-and-so thought because he was appointed by his guru as successor, he's become absolute. He said, I do not see them as such. Madhya Madhikari at best, at most, like on a good day. He once said about ISKCON, he said, you could take the sum total of what you've all realized and understood, and it won't even remotely approach what I've understood from Saraswati Thakur. Was that an arrogant statement? A disqualifying arrogant statement? So Guru Maharaj says that, right? Then what did he say? So, oh, the God brother says to me, anyone can remove your doubt? And I said, this is August of 1980. It just, my mouth, I heard my mouth saying something. My mouth said, Sridhar Maharaj. I said, in fact, I'll tell you this. I will now agree to whatever he says before I go and hear it. All right? I now accept fully the answers he gives to my future questions. He said, I do too. And you should go immediately. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj and I, we flew on Ariana Afghan. Where, when we landed there, there's Russian tanks at the airport on both sides of the runway. And it's Ekadashi. And I'm really weak. And wants to drink some water. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj leans over and says, we shouldn't even accept water from these people. And I'm like, Allahu Akbar. Now I can't even have water. And I go, okay, yes, Maharaj. You're so merciful. It shows that he has something. No, but anyway, so then we get there. And the whole of ISKCON is bewildered by these 11 Prabhupada impersonators. Right? 11, not just one. You think, you'd be like, one is bad. Imagine 11. You got 11 guys going around with canes and sticks, you know, and like doing this Wizard of Oz routine. And I am the mighty Oz. All bow before me. Dandavat, I'm Oz. Didn't you get the memo? It's in the will. I'm the Wizard of Oz. Does that mean he's the Guru of Australia? That should be the natural thing a Govindamar's disciple would say. Is the Wizard of Oz the Acharya of Australia? This is a very important question we're discussing at Govindadham at this moment. And Sadhu Priya is going to make a calculation. When will be the auspicious time? I mean, really, you guys are like... what you are. Look, I've been praising you for 15 years. It's time to take out the whip. You know, for a day, for an hour. I think you can handle it. There's going to be a feast at the end of this anyway. It's So Gurudev said that Bengali saying, "Pu pele pito hoy." If you're going to beat somebody on their back, you should put something in their stomach. So I'm whipping you first. It just, you can forgive that. There'll be a feast afterwards. You go, like, "Oh man, can I have another glove jam?" Ow! You know, forgive me if I didn't get the sequence right. But anyway, so we go there, and I've got questions from like senior god sisters. I'll just say, Jadurani. She's one of Prabhupada's original disciples. She's got she's writing a book, you know, on like what's wrong. One day, we had to hide her so the devotees wouldn't kill her, the disciples of the new gurus. She'd be out in the street, you know, Prabhupada's dearest female disciple. She'd be out in the street screaming, "They're bogus!" You know, like girls trying to drag her. "They're bogus!" You know. Had to put her in a hotel nearby in L.A. And one day I came by to give her a prasadam. She said, "I don't know whether to give you dandavats or spit in your face." And I said, "All right, let's talk." Because I'm supporting bogus people is what she meant. Anyway, so we fly there. We've got all of her questions, my questions, senior devotee questions, everything. And in the first sentence, Guru Maharaj answers everything. In one sentence, everything is adjusted. He says, "Three types of gurus we can conceive. One, 2 feet in Goloka, extends 1 foot to here, is taking from here to there. Another, who from here has now a connection there, a foot there, 1 foot here, 1 foot there, and they're taking from here to there." And then he said, "A third class we can conceive. 2 feet in the mud." And we all went like, "Oh, thank God. That sounds like the one we know." You know, like, 2 feet in the mud. And their eyes fixed on Vaikuntha. And they say, "Let us go there." I just like threw my papers up in the air. "Okay, when's the, you know, we're done. What time's lunch?" And then I realized, oh, I guess I have to ask the rest of these questions. So, the end of the first meeting, everything's perfectly answered. Then I'm back in the mosquito net and I look and I go, how am I going to present this to the devotee? That's what I realize is the problem. I'm totally embracing this. How do I present this to them? So, and they're like, you know, those insects that are the size of bats, flying into the net, and so on, like I'll flash, geez, you know, looks like something in a horror movie. And then I go to the second meeting, and I'm trying like say really like offensive things to just see what Guru Maharaj will say to them. And again, perfect answers, everything. And then he once told me in the future, it takes 2 meetings for him to capture someone. So it's at the end of the second meeting. Consider me captured. And Guru Maharaj, he can see it. He knows it. And he says, "Dear Krishna Maharaj, are you satisfied?" And in my heart, I'm saying, I want to offer myself in service to you. And I'm thinking, but that's like, you're on the first date with a girl, and you go, "I love you, with all, I'm telling you, with all, you know," and you're like, "Don't do it, just wait." So I just said, "I'm very satisfied with your answers." He knew everything already, but he's like, almost teasing me. "Are you satisfied?" You can see, I'm like melting into my swaroop. I'm not satisfied, okay? So, then we go back to L.A., and my friend, they think, I'm the great Satan. Remember, I've been dealing with this my whole life. I've been polluting other people's children since as long as I can remember.
I'm the kid who the parents go, we got to get our kids to stay away from him, right? And his crazy ideas about things. This is just the way I am my entire life. In Krishna consciousness or outside of it, right? Mama, don't let your children grow up to be cowards. The songs, you know, cowboys. Anyway, so the GBC secretly fly in to like take my old friend and like the evil Dear Krishna Sudhir has been removed and now they can reprogram him. And they fly in five people, one of which was a gentleman named Pancha Dravida Maharaj. You might have heard of him. Again, you know, like, no, we haven't. And that's the problem. No, it's part of the problem. Anyway, so, and we get there, but the leading ones, Jayapataka Maharaj, Sri Dayananda Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj, then they're like, because Bhavananda Maharaj and Jayapataka, they're always going to Guru Maharaj. Whenever there are problems in ISKCON, they go there and ask Guru Maharaj's advice. Guru Maharaj tells them what to do. Then they go back and they go, I've got an idea. Mm-hmm. And people go, that guy is brilliant. He is just brilliant. Who could think of that? They're doing that for years. So they cautiously say, what did Srila Sridhar Maharaj say? And now I understand something too. I understand not to reveal everything. Parokshavada Bedo Yambalanam Anushasanam. So I start saying the things that Guru Maharaj said that support their position. And they start saying to me, do you see why Prabhupada told us after him to consult with Srila Sridhar Maharaj? So like, do you understand why he's the Shiksha Guru for ISKCON? Do you get it? What else did he say? And he said, I mean, do you understand the brilliance of Prabhupada in sending us to Sridhar Maharaj after his disappearance? You don't get it, do you, huh? What else did he say? And I go on and on. They're just, their foot's going deeper and deeper and deeper in their mouth. He's the Shiksha Guru for ISKCON. This is Prabhupada's perfect arrangement. There's no greater authority of Krishna consciousness on earth than Srila Sridhar Maharaj, etc., etc., etc. What else did he, you know, they're like having a party. Tell me some more. And then I go like, well, one of these things he said was about the big Vyasa sons and all the grandiose puja. He said, this will create disembarkment from the mission. And he said, there will be Vyasasans from the mountains to the sea. And he realized, we had 11 Vyasasans. Open the doors and turn on the fan. Turn on the fan in the kitchen. It'll be 11 Vyasasans, 12, Prabhupada plus 11. Then if they have successors, then you have what? I'm not good at math, but all right, 23, 34, 45, you know, whatever. Vyasasans from the mountains to the sea. When they talk about titles, he said, Vishnupad is a higher title than Prabhupada. One of the, like, oh God, no! You know, like, then they go, this doesn't leave this room. Then they, one person is left, Jayapataka Maharaj, who's an old friend of mine. I worship him. I'm just telling a truthful story. So the others, and he's kind of like, you know, like looking at things on, you know, everyone else is left. First they say, no one can hear these things except these five members of the, not even the whole GBC should hear it, what Sridhar Maharaj says. Only these five members of the Privilege Committee should hear it. Now the other four have gone. Jayapataka Maharaj is there and he goes, you know, Srila Sridhar Maharaj often speaks in Bengali. I'm the only person who understands Bengali. So actually, you only need to make one copy for me and not even give to the other. They were so afraid of the truth. They didn't even want to share it with their friends, the truth of what Guru Maharaj is saying. And that's what I'm telling to you now. What you're afraid of is the truth. It's not all this other stuff. You're afraid of the truth and of taking a stand for the truth And if you're a real follower of Guru Maharaj and Gurudev, you, with all your fear of the truth, you'll still take a stand for the truth, knowing you have their backing. Don't succumb to peer pressure, rumors, social networks, and all this distraction, all this noise in the midst of signal. What did Gurudev say? Make yourself a fit receiver. You've got more than ample signal coming to you, but you're distracted by noise, and you're afraid of the social consequences of taking a stand for the truth. When one of my godbrothers got very fired up about Guru Maharaj, and then he like cooled off after a while when they offered him position. Then he like cooled off. And he could no longer look me in the eye. And we had shared so many things in appreciation of Guru Maharaj, now he couldn't look in my eye. And I told him, I said, you know what my situation is like? I said, I'm like a pregnant nun. Like, everyone will see gradually what happened to me. And there's no way out, I mean, denying it. And I've been impregnated by a paramour. That's what all you Prabhupada disciples will see. I've been impregnated by somebody else, and it's just going to gradually get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I said, and I'm willing to accept the humiliation or the social consequences of bearing the child of that realization. That's what it is. If something is entered us, real and substantial, it will grow and develop and give birth. And those who want that thing will bear the social consequences of that your peers don't approve, someone will say a bad thing about you. I've been told, you know, I betrayed Prabhupada. I am not following his will. Prabhupada said, don't hear from the God brothers, they can only harm us. Srila Sridhar Maharaj is responsible for disobeying Saraswati Thakur's will and wishes. Many things. And what did Guru Maharaj say when I told him? He goes, I am a man who, if I was in Vaikuntha, would be a troublemaker. That's how he described himself. And when I said in LA, I said, maybe there's some truth. They're saying that I'm dealing too much with Shastra, scriptures, head in the clouds, and the manager should be someone who's got his feet on the ground and more hands-on and that kind of stuff, you know, getting fleet discounts on vehicles. I said, maybe there's some truth to that. And Guru Maharaj said, many can manage money, men, buildings. He said, but those who can go up and bring down some higher substance, that is very rare. And then he said, and also, if what you are saying is true, then why have you come for my association? And he started to smile and he said, birds of a feather flock together. And I said, I want to be in that flock. So anyway, then a year later, I'm now preaching openly about Guru Maharaj. And what's the worst thing that's happening? Devotees are becoming enlivened. So the leaders are very worried. Devotees are becoming enlivened. That can't be good. So they hire my former protege to monitor all my classes and to catch me saying something that's not in line with Prabhupada's teachings. Because now I'm just talking all the time about Guru Maharaj and his concepts. During that period, I have a dream vision of Guru Maharaj, of Prabhupada, excuse me. And I approach him, Vyasasana, and say, how am I to understand my relationship with you and with Srila Sridhar Maharaj? And he says, you should accept him as your spiritual master. I have trained you up to this point, and he will do the remainder. So I wrote that to Guru Maharaj in a letter.
And with some other appropriate slokas, quotations, etc. And he happily accepted that. But I predicted at that time, I said, either they're going to kick me out or make me so uncomfortable that I'll just leave voluntarily. In other words, they're going to start speaking against you. And it just reached a certain point again. It was in August of 1981. Here's what happened. I gave a class about Brahmajyoti. That's what started it all. Guru Maharaj's Siddhanta about Tathasta Shakti, Brahmajyoti, etc. At the end of my class, in a temple room with around 300 devotees there, the former protege jumps up and screams at the top of his lungs, "I challenge your authority to make these statements." Like that. And I say, I'm quoting, you know, Srila Bhakti Rakag Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, who's the supreme authority of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And that's all they needed. That I refer to him as the supreme authority. And I still do. And Govinda Maharaj accepts him as the supreme authority. So, I tell the leader, "I think I need to consult with Srila Sridhar Maharaj right now." He goes, "Oh, I think so too." Because he realized this way we don't have to have a fight, a public thing, just here's your ticket. We thought you might want to come. And he knows, I'm leaving, I'm not coming back, we're not going to see each other again. And we haven't. It was August of 1981. And that's when I go to Guru Maharaj. And he's already heard, before I get there, everything. And he'd never heard the expression "kicked out" before. He goes, "I didn't catch it, Nimai did. Told he was kicked out." Like Guru Maharaj is going, "kicked out." Like he's thinking about that, kicked out. Because he always uses the word "oust." "I didn't catch it, Nimai did. He was kicked out." And so the first thing he says to me, because he's a lawyer also by background, he said, "You can appeal." He starts telling me what all my options are, like I'm his client. You know? And I said, "I don't want to fight with them. I just want to stay with, I'm finished. Thank you very much, I'm finished." And that's when Guru Maharaj said, "Society consciousness and God consciousness. When society consciousness hinders the development of God consciousness, it should be left away." And what was particularly beautiful about that, when I arrived at Navadvip train station, I get on the rickshaw, it's night, and only the moon is shining, and there's like evening jasmine in the air, and I come out, Guru Maharaj, who'd usually be in bed by that time, he's outside, he's waiting for me, and the moon is illuminating his face. Moonshine. Pearl moonshine. Like, I chastised some lady in Vrindavan recently, who we were at the Madan Mohan Temple, and I gave what I just thought was an inspiring talk. And then we were leaving, and she pointed to some so-called sadhu in a kopin and said, "He looks like my Guru Maharaj." And, you know, it was like Nisringadev appeared in me. And I disagreed. But I didn't say anything offensive to her. But what I told her, and actually later I explained to her, and she's very happy about it. I've been writing this pranam, you can say, for Srila Guru Maharaj for many, many years. And I revisit it once a year to see if anything new comes. And she helped advance one of the lines. Because what it is when Guru Maharaj would talk, like this, if you look at his fingernails, they look like pearl moonshine. So in the pranam it says, there's this lotus flower, this beautiful lotus flower that has 11 moons orbiting it that are exhibiting pearl moonshine. So
And the problem, so what they are the 10 fingernails, when he says, and Mahaprabhu, and these moons, they orbit in erratic patterns according to what he's expressing conceptually. So his face is the lotus flower. The fingernails on his holy lotus hands are those moons, mukta, and they're orbiting. But see, in Sanskrit poetry, if you can say something by inference, is better than saying it directly. So, as someone asked, well, what is the 11th moon? This sloka is written from the position of the 11th moon. The 11th moon is what Gurudev gave Guru Maharaj. It's a pearl he wears on it. It's an actual pearl. So the actual pearl is the speaker of the sloka. And I didn't know that previously. And the pearl is saying, the pearl's with all the other moons that are orbiting the lotus face of Guru Maharaj. But the pearl is saying, I'm not so beautiful. My ability to shine is aninda compared to the beauty of those 10 pearl moons that are orbiting that inconceivably beautiful lotus. That pearl is voicing these sentiments. This is the line of Chaitanya Saraswati Math. It is what distinguishes it from any other math, is the wealth of Guru Maharaj. When Gurudev said, with all that he was mentioned in the will, declared publicly, all of these things, and he said, still I had to sit in the examination hall. And what did we find? When he sat in that examination hall, he blew everybody's mind. Listen to the recordings in Australia of 1995, 6, 7, whenever it was. Sarupriya gave me some of them. Karnamritam, Rupa Goswami, like inconceivably beautiful slokas. And he's holding back. He's trying not to say those things. He's trying to keep it on a real elementary level, and all this other stuff is coming out. Like the Kosturi Tilakam Lalata Palake, Na shagre namamukti kam kurtile venam kare kankanam sarvanga harichandanam chakala kante chamuktavalim gopa stri puriveshito vijayate gopala chudamani. When he would sing Tungamani Mandire to put Guru Maharaj in a good mood, a song from his childhood, you know, to wake on his father's chest at 3 o'clock in the morning, to keep him quiet, his father would teach him the mantras for Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. He knew those mantras like as a 4-year-old. But the Tungamani Mandire, in his last visit to Navadvipa, I said, what is it about that that you knew would immediately charm Srila Guru Maharaj? He said, well, it means that Srimati Radharani's heart is like a lighthouse of Krishna Prem, illuminating everything. And I'm just like, oh. A lighthouse, a jewel, her heart is like a jeweled lighthouse of Krishna Prem. That song he knew would put Guru Maharaj in a good mood. Right. So who is Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami? Can you really say you know? We thought we knew who Prabhupada was until Guru Maharaj told us he was a Shaktivesh avatar. Now everyone goes, oh, I know that. I heard that. I read that. It's on the internet. Yeah, who revealed that? Was Guru Maharaj. Someone who could make that assessment. And now the whole world says it. But before he said it, it was like an outrageous statement. All these foolish people, all you could hear are the vulgar things I said to wake you up from your slumber. As I told my Aussie friends, when the Australians started expressing indignation, I knew the message had gotten through. Right? That you know. But do you know that in this very, where I'm sitting right now, that a month ago, I gave an explanation of the Mahabharata sloka
Suvarnabharna Hey Mango, how it describes the appearance of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That you don't know. That you don't talk about. You don't comment, like, dislike. You have nothing to say about that. All you can say is, oh, he used the word horse shit. He just humiliated the Matacharya. Oh,
inappropriate, highly inappropriate.
Perry, are there going to be cucumber sandwiches later? Rather,
it was not cricket. Definitely not cricket.
I mean, really, the Aussies can laugh at that. They go, we would never talk like that. We don't talk like that down in Oz. No way. I once told an Australian, I said, you guys are nothing more than a bunch of dignified Texans. And he said, dignified? He took issue with that. So, yeah, now that I have your attention, so Gurudev says, through his God brothers, he understood the glories of Guru Maharaj. Through Guru Maharaj, we understood how exalted Srila Prabhupada was. And I can tell you the same way. You really want to understand how great Srila Gurudev is, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj? Then you can come and talk to me about it. And I'll tell you what I know about him, if you're interested in that kind of thing. But if you're interested in the Ten Commandments and what you think is chiseled in stone and some imaginary Govinda Maharaj, the Govinda Maharaj of your imagination, you want to offer the mind's bananas to the Govinda Maharaj of your imagination, then as Guru Maharaj would say, let them dance with their foolish tendency. I won't waste my time with that. But if people want to understand something about Srila Gurudev's ecstatic interior, we have the kokil here. Why does the kokil remind me of him? We're in Navadvip, we hear the kokils, and he'll say, oh. And he's going. Why does that? He said, oh, that reminds me of my childhood. He said, before we had watch and clock, we tell time by the stars, the sky, the position of the moon, and the sound of the birds. And what does he say in classic Gurudev? Just classic Gurudev? He goes, when I would hear that, I know, not that it's time to get up and go to school, he said, that it's time to get up and eat muri. So, and then we're listening and you hear it going up. Up, 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 up. He said, oh, it's two males competing for the affection of a female. So they're going like, listen now, sweet, I can do it. No, I can do it sweeter, 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 sweeter. Right. And then... and I'm thinking, oh, Goswami, you know, like the Kujat Kokila Hamsa Sarasagana Kire Mayura Kule of Srinivasacharya. They're always talking about the kokil, and we know it's the parakya symbol. The kokil lays their eggs in another bird's nest, and the other bird raises them thinking they're their own. It's a symbol of parakya. Anyway, and then Gurudev says, he quotes this, you know, Jaimini iti, Jaimini japati, sabhishan kalanadam, kurvati kilako kila kilakuli taladam. And then he says, Radharani jap. She's going, Jaimini, 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 Jaimini. Why is she chanting the name of Jaimini? Because generally we know the sound of the kokil is like liquid sweetness. That, thank you. Liquid sweetness. And it's reminiscent of the voice of Krishna. Sometimes
Radharani's voice is compared to a kokil. It's just liquid sweetness is the sound of the kokil. And it, what does they do? Excuse me. It gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. It just keeps getting sweeter. So you would think, like the neophytes, the nectar hounds, who want sweet things, that hearing the kokil should make you feel happy. But Radharani is going, Jaimini, 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 Jaimini. In a very desperate way, fervently, she's chanting Jaimini. Why? Because Gurudev explained, it is their tradition that the girls of Vrindavan, everybody in Vrindavan, that it is said that when there's thunder and lightning, that to protect yourself from being struck by lightning, you should take the name of Jaimini Rishi. So when it's like in the sky, you go, Jaimini, Jaimini, and you won't get struck by lightning. So everybody chants the name of Jaimini Rishi. But why is Radharani chanting his name? Because in the Viraha Bhav separation, like Das Goswami, Govardhan is the python coming to swallow him, Radhakund is the tiger's gaping jaws, and separation from Krishna, the sweet sound of the kokil that's reminiscent of the voice of Krishna is like lightning striking her heart. That's why she's going, Jaimini, Jaimini, save me from being struck by the lightning of the sweetness of the voice of the kokil that's breaking my heart. That is Srila Bhakti. That is like just Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj between snacks. But you saw the snack and want to talk about the snack. That's what I find disappointing. And a snack is okay. And all of that is okay and fine and well and good. But to miss this other thing, which is the actual wealth of Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, is worrisome. And I'm not going to let up. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. I'm sorry. People go, no, Maharaj, there's a girl in Venezuela who's crying. Steve Jobs made his employees cry, and that's why you've got an iPhone in your pocket. I'm not here to make a girl in Venezuela happy. That's not what I like. That, you know, I get up in the morning and go, what's going on down in Venezuela? I mean, with all due respect to Miss Universe, okay? Props to Miss Universe. But that's not how this works. There are little girls in the spiritual world who are crying, and I care about them. And they're crying for another reason. And that, Guru Maharaj, Rupa Goswami says in his sloka, that Radharani, usually she's crying, but stops after a while in separation. But this time, she cannot stop crying. And the Guru Varga of Vrindavan are upset. Who are the Guru Varga? Nanda, Jashoda, Purnamasi, others. And everyone is afraid Radharani is going to leave the world. Right? The 10th stage of separation is death. So, they're wondering what to do. And Chandravali, her chief competitor, she comes and admits that Radharani is superior and says, actually, if you do this, if you commit suicide, then Krishna, none of us have any hope of ever seeing him again. We know you have the power to bring him back here. I don't have it, they don't have it, but you do. You alone have that power. And if we lose you, even though I compete with you all the time, if we lose you, we've lost everything. So I admit it, you're superior, and I'm begging you at your lotus feet, don't do this. And then we're told, mysteriously, Srimati Radharani stops crying. And then all of her tears spring out of the eyes of her servitors. Now they're all crying incessantly, and she's happy. And that's what this is all about. It's time for all of this. Stop making Govinda Maharaj cry. Let him be happy, and let all of his tears be transferred. You've got to start crying. That's my message to you. As the sincere followers and disciples of Srila Govinda Maharaj, it's time for you to shed tears. Jai Om Vishnupad, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Raj Abhibhav Mahamahutsav Titi Ki Jai. Srila Bhakti Rakhak Sridhar Dev Goswami Raj Ki Jai.